you guys got on. She was in the waiting room, and I was like, oh no, I can't let her in yet.
you gotta get set up. All right. Welcome everybody to the Starving Artist Podcast. So my name is Rocky Kotar. I am one of your hosts, a Boston illustrator for the Starving Artist Podcast.
My name is Katrina. I'm another one of their hosts. I'm not an artist per se, but I'm actually going to say that I haven't found my artistic talent as of yet.
Okay. I'm Professor X, and I'm another co-host of the Starving Artist Podcast. Really happy to be here today, and we are we have Valeria Frustacci, and she is with us, illustrator out of New York City, but all the way from across the pond in Italy. But we want to get right into it, Valeria. And I want to ask you a little bit of your history, like with illustration. And then I can talk about, you know, mine, and Rocky can talk about his history. But the first question is exactly, how did you get into the illustration game? Like, how did you become an illustrator?
Okay. Hi, everyone, and thanks for having me here. I'm very happy. And so to answer your question, well, I always kind of draw and sketch. It was something that I always liked, like when I was a kid and something like that. I constantly sketch, you know, when you study with the books and you have some white spaces on the pages and you sketch there, even if you're not supposed to do that and something like that. But it was kind of a, you know, a hobby or just something that I had to do, but it wasn't actually something that I thought will be a work, a job. And then when I was studying architecture, so I think in the last year, probably, I decided that it wasn't my my ideal career. And I wanted something more artistic. I wanted more freedom. And I decided to become an illustrator. So I changed a little bit my studies. And I started a school in Milan with a class for graphic design and illustration. And then everything really started.
Okay. Yeah. We was curious about that because, you know, yeah. I should let the viewers know that Valeria and I, we had a project for Imagine Action Studios. That's how I got introduced to you. I found you on LinkedIn. I liked a lot of your illustrations and stuff. And then you did a project for my studio. So that was kind of how we met. But I like how you brought up the architect, because we were thinking about that. We was like, well, how did you go from being an architect to the illustration? And you kind of said because of the freedom, right?
Yeah. More artistic freedom. You know, architecture is amazing, but it's also a lot of math, geometry, a lot of, you have to really be a problem solver. And the artistic or creative aspect is very little. And I wanted more. So illustration was the answer. Yeah.
Awesome. And I mean, I think too, what happened between us as the host when we were like looking through your work and just your bio, I was like, whoa, it totally makes sense that architecture is a bachelor of science as opposed to a bachelor of, like, you know, fine arts. because of the heavy math and all those things that you mentioned. So significant. I do wonder, like, just because I think it's helpful for viewers to hear, like, how artists describe their work. So how do you describe the work that you create?
So usually the first word that I think of is colorful. I really, really like to put bright colors in my work. I didn't think of it. It just came up, like, working and trying. But it's something that it's important to me, using a lot of colors and bright colors, mm-hmm. especially just because I think it's, I don't know, something positive and that suggests an idea of, I don't know, happiness or something very, yeah, positive. I just want to give a positive vibe to people that look at my work. And colors is a way to do that. I hope so. And then, probably also Victoria, because I work a lot with Adobe Illustrator and I like the geometry that I can create with that tool. And then, I don't know.
I can tell you my impression from seeing your work initially. I think, like, it's interesting that you say color, because that's where I begin with it too, with your work.
Oh, great.
In the sense that I even would say, just hearing you say it, like, as the artist, to some degree, I feel like initially when I see your work, I see the color first, and then I identify what the objects are. You know, and then I identify with it. I mean, I feel like it may happen at the same time or like within a fraction of a second. But I know initially what gets me super excited is certainly the color. And then I also see the architectural background within your work. Because there's like this sense of exactness within the line. As an artist, I respond to color as well. But for me, I know sometimes it's just dropping it and then just saying goodbye. but I feel like it's super very well calculated. And the way that you're using it in different areas kind of sparks it's important wherever it is.
It seems like you found a good way to marry the two, to keep the architecture without all the boundaries of it. So, and I can definitely tell.
You are right.
I can tell, like, looking at, I think I came across something that you posted on Instagram, like on my explore page, and just because of the colors and your distinct style, I didn't know, I just saw the picture and I was like, I think that's Valeria. Click on it. Sure enough, it was you. I think you just have a very distinct look. Yeah. I could tell just by that.
That's great. That's great because, you know, something that it's very hard for an artist, I think, is exactly find your own style. I mean, everybody talk about you have to find your own style, and you're always like, oh, I don't know what my style is. How can I find it? But yeah, that's great.
That's a good point. I wasn't even thinking about that, but I like that because I remember in school the professors were telling me the same thing. They were like, oh, you know, you have a good ability to copy, you know, other people, and, you know, you can do a great job, you know, doing that stuff, but they'll like find your own style so that when you're doing things, people recognize it's your work.
It's your work.
It's more original. So kind of going back to that, you know, how was it working in Italy versus working in New York?
Oh, it's so different. It's so different. So I started in Italy as illustrator. So I'm very thankful for that. But it's not easy. Just because, well, I started working with publisher especially. So illustration for books, essentially. And it's a pretty wild field in Italy, just because there's no very written rules. Can I say that? Yeah, kind of. There's no written rules. So you are on your own as a sole proprietor or freelance. And if you don't have a very solid background, you can work a lot and be paid very little. And that's the worst part especially for all the young people that start this kind of job. There's no really rules. and you end up to work a lot for nothing. So that it's the very worst part. And also, unfortunately, a lot of clients wait long period before to pay you. So that sucks.
That's not gonna work. Yeah, that's not gonna work.
No, I hate that.
It's not. So the big difference was that when I came here and I started working here in New York and United States in general, there's a huge difference between these two worlds, just because there's a lot of respect for every kind of professionals. So if you are a lawyer, you're respected because you do a good work. If you are an illustrator, you too are respected because you do your work. That's not the same thing there. It's just a lack of culture, I think, because it seems that if you illustrate or if you draw for work, it's not real work. That's very bad. I didn't like that. And here I found really, really very professional place. So it was very, very nice.
Oh, that's good to know. You know, it's
it's
different everywhere, and that's interesting. You mentioned that.
I mean, your work is certainly real work here, for sure. It definitely is.
I mean, after some years, if you gain the right respect in sense that you publish with a good publisher or you have nice clients, then I mean, then you can work better. But in the beginning, it's not easy, not really, even if you're very good.
Now, you mentioned something interesting. You know, Rocky and I have we've done some illustration work for like publishing houses. How do you like working for a publishing house? Did you have like an agent or did you kind of like represent yourself?
I always represented myself. I just had an agent for, I think, 1 year back. I don't know. I think 3 or 4 years ago. But I didn't really liked it because it didn't help that much. And I usually found the contacts for art directors or publisher or client and send my portfolio or try to, to connect with them and talk about my work and see if something can start. So yeah, I usually do everything by myself. It's a lot of work too, but yeah, I know that a lot of colleagues as agents that work very well, but I'm not very expert about that. So. Yeah.
And to some degree too, I feel like there's this time that we're living in, which is a very heavily social media based. So everybody is literally connected. So in a way, the work of the agent in representing you in front of these organizations kind of shifts, right? Because these people may see your work online and send you a message, right? Publishing companies have social media accounts. So it's just, I find that like as an interesting, and specifically, I don't have an agent either. And to hear that you say that feels very like, it feels very, what's the word here?
You guys are very
affirmation. It's an affirmation.
You don't need an agent, Rocky. You can do it on your own.
I'm telling that's been my view for a very long time.
The Starving Artist Podcast is a band of super talented, sophisticated rock stars. We aim to challenge ourselves and the status quo. Now, the Starving Artist Podcast Network is expanding nationally from New York City to Portland, Oregon, and broadcasting on local TV courtesy of Urban Media Art Studio right here in Malden, Massachusetts. Please support the movement by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Starving Artist Podcast. And follow us on Instagram at starving_artist_podcast. You can also find us on Patreon and listen to our podcast on Anchor, Apple, Google, SoundCloud, and Spotify. Rocky, Xavier, and I want to sincerely thank all who have been loyal ambassadors of the Starving Artist Podcast Network. But we ain't done, y'all. Stay tuned and check out the latest and greatest. This is your girl, Katrina, and I'm out of here.
Welcome back from that commercial break. And to get us started on the second half of the show, we're going to do a little game with our guest, Valeria. We're just going to ask a few rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire, Sorry, I did not get it up.
And we're going to put just 1 minute on the clock. They're not any hard questions at all. It's just about personal random stuff. There's no right or wrong answer. Okay.
Super challenging.
So
let's see.
Here we go. 1 minute on the clock. Do you prefer ice cream or gelato?
Gelato.
Oh yeah.
We knew it.
Do you prefer to go to the movie theater or a play?
Movie theater.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Good question.
Jeans or sweatpants?
I don't know what that is.
Like denim or like loungewear?
Denim. Sorry.
Denim? It's okay. Paperback or hardcover books?
Hardcover books.
Oh, yeah.
Hardcover.
What is your favorite way to exercise?
Running.
With my spoon.
What is your favorite breakfast food?
Cornetto cappuccino. Do you know that?
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
We have to explain that.
That sounds delicious.
Okay. Are you usually slightly late or super early?
Super early.
All right, that's our time.
I love that last question. Are you slightly late?
Super early. Yeah.
I won't answer that one.
Well, for Valeria, before you guys got on, she was in the waiting room, and I was like, "Oh no, I can't let her in yet."
You gotta get set up. I'm always super early. I know, but I can't help it.
That's a good
quality to have, though.
I was going to say, you shouldn't apologize for that. That's good.
I don't know. I always worry to, I don't know, you know, don't catch the train or the bus. I have to be early.
The only time I'm super early is for, like, I'm catching a plane. Any other time, I'm cutting it kind of close.
So we have some, like, a few hypotheticals that we want to ask you. You know, as illustrators, you're able to make your own schedule. What if you had a client who always, they were paying you well, but the sketches, the thumbnails that you were showing them, they were always telling you to rework them. Have you ever had someone, oh no, that's bad, do this over. Have you ever had one of those bad clients like that?
It happened. Yeah. Yeah,
tell us about it.
Not frequently, I have to admit, but it happened. And it's
was
not
it Xavier?
Easy. Oh, he's like, that was me.
No, it was a nice client, but it was hard because everything I sketched, and she chose me. I mean, she asked me for my work because she loved my work. So, you know, you think, oh wow, we will start, it will be something easy because she loved my work, so everything I can do, she's gonna love it. But it's not. It wasn't like that. She wasn't satisfied with the sketches. So usually when something like that happen, I'm very open to find something that the client will love. But if the process is kind of stuck or we cannot proceed, I think, or the client has to change a little bit what he has in mind, but because probably there's something that is not working or there's something that we didn't talk about clearly, or we have to stop the work, you know, to stop working together because, yeah, I mean, you just have to change the way you are doing things or find someone else that can help you.
I asked that because I had a client like that. Everything I showed them, I was doing a, crest, a family crest. And
wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounded awesome. And I had to do a lot of these animals. And so I'm doing the research on some of the animals and they're like, oh, you know, the elephant looks like it needs to have more weight. It needs to be more heavy. And then like, oh no, the bird, it needs more feathers. And I was like, oh no. And I spent so much time. And I said, you know what? Never again. I'll have some not stipulation, but I have some like rules. Or now mm-hmm. I only do a certain amount of versions.
Yeah, that's a good tip. Yeah.
I don't do endless versions now. I do like 3 to 5. And my thing is, in the beginning, if I had a good talk with you with the briefing, then we should be on the same page. Mm. So if you're starting to see something different, then it's like, you know, this might not work.
And I think for me, I always kind of keep the client in the process. One of my friends actually was like, especially like, cause I do kind of work in the design field a little bit, but I do think of the fact that like, I received this feedback. They were like, hey, how about you have the client, like, even though they can't draw, at least draw a little bit of what they're looking at, you know, thinking about, even though it's the worst drawing that they could, you know, like to you as an artist. And I don't really think anything's like the worst drawing ever, but I just mean just to give you a sense of visuals. So I like making the client a complete part of the process so that if we, like, as you mentioned, X, if they get to step like 5, and they're like, no, I can be like, but step 1, 2, 3, 4, you said yes, why? but difficult clients exist. And I just think it's like you said as well, Valerie, it's really all about they're doing a little bit research in the beginning, seeing the work that you produce and understanding mm-hmm. that that's how you work. You know what I mean? And those are the images you produce. Yeah.
It kind of goes back to what Valerie was saying earlier too, about having respect for the professional. So if your clients respect, like, this is your job, this is how you feed your family, this is, you're actually working, like, you're qualified to do this job, they shouldn't be, as unreasonable in their expectations or with changing, you know, what their product's supposed to be down the line, because they recognize that this is your time, this is your energy, but you're still a professional.
Yeah, sometimes you can charge for the extra work. And usually that works with the client. So magically, the work that you are doing, they are going to like it. That happens too, you know, mm-hmm. that sometimes they think that you work for free. So they are allowed to ask you everything. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can say that if you are starting a project, just try to clarify everything at the beginning. So, I mean, like, okay, I can, the price is this for 3-4 sketches, 2 finals, 1 final, etc. So if everything is very clear at the beginning, usually there's no problem. If things are like confused, it's gonna be like that. Not very. Yeah, it's not easy. Because sometimes it's not easy if you're not an illustrator. It's not easy to understand how much work you are doing. So you know, it's just a sketch, but it's not. It's not that. It's not just a sketch. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, that's a good point, because you know, people think that you can just quickly, you know, get something together. And, you know, that time is precious. That time you're trying to get your thoughts together. You're trying to get, you know, the concept down, you know, so all that stuff is very interesting. Mm.
Yeah. Research and the research. Drawings. Yeah. That's all work. Yeah.
Honestly, there's a point at which, like, I think I speak to X about this all the time, and Katrina, sometimes as an illustrator, you sign up for a job, and or maybe it's the balance that I'm getting, because I'm very much like, I would say I'm in the professional field of illustration, but I'm definitely a student of the professional field of illustration as well. But the balance of knowing that this job that you're signing up for, likely you'll very much end up doing more than you imagined. you know? So in the sense of like, if I get a job, I'm probably already thinking about ideas just because of my mind. I'm already thinking about how am I going to tackle this? You know, what once the prompt comes up. So by the time we actually reach an agreement, I've essentially said, this is how the work is to go. Is that your process as well? What is your process for your creative working with clients essentially?
Okay, yeah, usually it's pretty easy. I usually talk with the client, so they can the client can tell me what he wants. So it's just a phone call or a meet. I mean, last year before this pandemic was real meetings, sometimes, not always, but yeah. And now it's just phone call or Zoom call. So I can understand what they want, having a better idea of what they are looking for. Then there's a contract or an agreement, something like that, where we put, or just an email, but with all the, you know, the essential points. So like also the size of the illustration or the prices and everything. And then the process is that. So I know my deadline. So the first phase is kind of write down all the ideas that I came up with, or just words, you know. The second is sketching. And usually I present two or three sketches, not a lot, because it's confusing for the client. So it's better to give two or three options, I think. And when we find the right draft, I start with the coloring phase. And usually the coloring phase, it's pretty fast because usually the client is already happy with the result, but there's like a fourth phase where I can change something, but it's usually very, very quickly. So just details.
I know you and Rocky like Procreate.
Yeah.
You use Procreate, Valerie?
I use that too. It's not Victoria, but I love it.
Yeah. So what is it? What's kind of the difference between Procreate and like Adobe Illustrator? Because you can do some of the things that you can't do, I'm assuming, in Procreate that you can do.
Yeah, it's very different. So you can try to use it the same way, but basically the two programs work differently because Adobe Illustrator is vector-based. Mm-hmm. So if you draw something in Adobe Illustrator, maybe just a square, you can enlarge it, zoom it. Enlarge it. A lot, and if you're gonna print that, it's always okay. In Procreate, so you can change the size of the file and you don't lose the quality in Adobe Illustrator because it's vector based. Procreate is not, is raster, I think the name is raster based. So it's like having a canvas with a size that it, you cannot change. So if you paint something, if you draw something in Procreate with that size and you try to zoom it and print a larger format, it's going to be bad quality because, yeah, you cannot, the format is that, the size is the one that you chose in the beginning. You have just two options. You are going to redraw that in a larger format. Nothing.
Yeah. I know about Illustrator as being vector based, but I didn't know that Procreate was raster, like Photoshop.
Yeah, I know that very well.
We've definitely learned a lot from you today, Valeria. And just to kind of sum things up, what is one valuable thing you feel like you've learned from your art practice?
I learned to never being bored. Like I have to I have, but I want to learn new things every day. So every time I receive a project from a client, or just because I want to do something for my own, it's something different from the past. So I can constantly learn new things, try new things. And that's amazing because it's what I was looking for. I didn't want a boring job. And so I really learn new things every day. Or if not every day, I mean every month probably. But yeah. I try to learn new tricks, new techniques, or just because a client give me a project about something I didn't know before. So I have to study a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I love that you said that because it's so interesting now. Just working with clients, and you went to art school, you went through all of it, and you think, or you get into the professional world and it's just practicing what you learned. But quite often you still have to kind of learn what your clients are asking for and learn how to deliver that. So that's awesome.
I'm glad we got to ask you some of those questions as a professional illustrator. Some of the audience we have, you know, they're younger, so they're practicing these skills and they're trying to find these tools. And, you know, we all know about Adobe and then there's these other tools. So that's good that we got to, you know, ask those questions, get your perspectives on that. So,
and I mean, too, I think just to also speak to our audience, because some of them are not artists, but I think one thing that's transferable within really any field is continually learning, which kind of just happens. Like you have the ground base when you go to school or from you know, wherever your learning structure was, but then comes the aspect of kind of putting what you've learned into practice. So definitely usable by multiple individuals, as X, you were mentioning.
Yeah, and also because our audience is primarily younger, that means they're into social media. So Valeria, let us know where people can find you.
Where you at?
Okay, you can find me on Instagram. So my Instagram is just my name, Valeria Frustaci. And my website, valeriafrustaci.com. So that's my main social media, internet place.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yeah. Awesome. And how can our viewers support your work, Valerie?
Society 6 shop. So that's nice because you can like buy some t-shirts or artwork with my illustration on it. So if you go to my website, you can find the link. So that will be great. Yeah, if you want to go there and see if you like something. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, okay. This is Rocky Cotard signing off.
This is Katrina signing off.
This is Valeria signing off.
This is Professor X signing off. Starving Artist Podcast.
Starving Artist Podcast.
The Starving Artist Podcast.
The Starving Artist Podcast.
Yeah. Got it.